You're listening to News New Mexico, where it is understood that whenever you see a successful business, someone once made a courageous decision.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts! It's time for an overhaul!
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs, I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir!
Whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball!
We are News New Mexico. It's Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. You can go to our newsnm.com website. Follow along. Jerry Harden is our producer-director in our newsmaker seat.
Yeah.
Instead of on the
Occupy
line.
News New Mexico.
Occupy News New Mexico. We got Heath Houseman. He's got a website about politics, nmpolitics.net. And, of course, on this date 39 years ago, you could have been sitting somewhere listening to Jack Smith. It was a former senator. He was on the moon at this time. He was singing.
I was rolling on the moon one day.
That's his voice on the moon 39 years ago today as we speak. Heath, welcome.
Thanks. Are you trying to box me in, Jim?
Yeah, we got
Occupy
you surrounded.
Occupy News New Mexico.
Occupy News New Mexico. I like that. I like the sound of that.
I'm not occupying anything.
You are?
Well, no, he's got a great column. You got to go to nmpolitics.net.
That I didn't write.
No, yeah. But he's got a great column on his site.
Yes.
And we linked to it last
really
night.
Yeah.
It's incredibly well written. I don't know that I agree with it, but I don't have to agree with things to say for our audience, the News New Mexico audience, this is an interesting thing. Have you actually read and been able to get inside the brain of somebody of the Occupy movement? That's what you got, don't you?
Right. I mean, anytime I come into contact with someone who says, you know, I'm active in the Tea Party or the Occupy movement somewhere in New Mexico, I sort of throw out an invitation. If you want to write a column about what it's about, what it means to you, you know, I'll consider publishing it. And I did that with this Mark Jacobs from Santa Fe. He's an original occupier. He was on the Brooklyn Bridge when the Occupy protesters shut it down and hundreds of them got arrested at the very beginning of this movement. And he wrote this column about what it means to him, what it's about. And I thought it was really well written, too. I thought it was really insightful.
Insightful. And part of it is I don't think he's being led by someone else.
Right.
And you know, part of it, I really like both Tea Party and Occupy, the notion that it is grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what makes America great,
yeah,
is grassroots. And all those people who are responding to a call from SEIU or a call from the Republican National Committee or whatever it was,
right,
I don't have any time for them.
And there certainly are elements of that in the Tea Party is an older movement, so there's probably more elements of that in the Tea Party right now, and there are some in the Occupy movement, and it'll probably grow as it gets older too. But there are also they both started as very grassroots movements, and those pieces are still there.
And that's good. So that's something that you have on your website. What did you take from that?
Well, I was struck, and let me pull it up. I have it pulled up here. He's talking about not only – I mean, everyone has talked about – who talks about Occupy talks about the 99% versus the 1% and sort of the societal structure stuff. The thing that he talked about in addition to that I found interesting was this sort of inner healing as a society. And, you know, some people would kind of blow it off and say, oh, he's from Santa Fe. But I thought it was really interesting. He talks about, you know, people coming together with all different stories, backgrounds, perspectives, and kind of find this belief that they can come together and better humanity with this movement.
And it appears to me he believes it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe he's got an angle.
I believe there's a lot of people who sincerely deep in their heart believe that socialism works.
I think there are people who believe that.
And I think that at the core of the policy proposals of the Occupy movement is socialism. Am I wrong?
I think it depends on the person. And I don't think it's
I'm talking about the ones who aren't completely confused and on drugs.
I don't think it's that easy to box in. I know some I mean, this guy has business clients. He has a business. But, yes, it seems that he probably favors some policies that you would consider a move towards socialism. Mm-hmm. I think in general that's probably a fair assessment, but I don't think it's true of everyone.
Let's define our terms, Jim.
Yeah.
Socialism.
Socialism. That's, to me, socialism is the attitude that government should control the means of production. And make
don't we do
rules.
That in America?
To a great extent, we do. We have moved very, very much toward socialism. I wrote a column last week that said basically the occupiers don't realize it, but they've already gotten what they want, which is much, much greater control by government.
But, I mean, don't we have too big to fail that comes from the right, which is also a form of socialism?
That is socialism, and it wasn't capitalism. That's right. The big lie about yeah. the Wall Street bailouts and all. That's not capitalism.
Right. And
those banks should have been allowed to fail. Not the federally insured deposits,
right.
Okay, and not the institutions themselves, but the stockholders right. should have been allowed to experience a complete wipeout.
Right. So what about subsidies for big oil that other energy companies
name
don't get?
Subsidy. Name
they
one
get all
subsidy.
Sorts of tax breaks that other corporations don't get.
That's
name
not,
one.
I don't believe that's correct.
Should
name,
we have
name
I mean, should,
one
should everyone,
subsidy.
Should everyone pay the same taxes, or should we have individual tax breaks for individual industries that other industries don't get?
I don't understand any industry. I don't know that there is any law that applies to the oil business that is not a cost. I don't believe that there are legitimate costs that they have to write off.
Okay.
So here would be the cost, because this is where most of it goes.
Yeah.
If they drill a well for half $1 million mm-hmm. and it doesn't produce oil,
right.
should they be able to write that cost off?
No.
Really?
They made a business decision. They took a risk.
If Hollywood...
So they should pay taxes only on their wins.
Wait.
No, Hollywood. Why should they not pay taxes on their losses?
If
I pay taxes in a month that I'm in the red.
If no, Hollywood, don't. If Hollywood,
no, you don't.
If I pay sales taxes, yes.
Oh, no,
I don't pay income tax. You're right.
Your customers okay. pay.
But there's
sales
so
tax.
Many different taxes. I mean, when I purchase things, I still pay taxes. Even if I'm in the red that month, I still have expenses,
yeah.
I still have to pay things, and I still pay sales tax on that.
Well, let's explore that.
I think we're going to be doing a lot of exploring here.
Lucy! Okay. We are News New Mexico. Enjoying talking with Heath Houseman, nmpolitics.net. We'll be back in just a second. It is 14 minutes past the hour.
The 2011-2012 live thoroughbred and quarter horse racing season is tearing up the track at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino. You won't want to miss a single minute of the action as these amazing athletes compete in the 53rd season of live racing every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Post time is 12:25 p.m. And this promises to be a season to remember. Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142. Ring in the new year with great food and great entertainment. During our one-of-a-kind New Year's Eve celebration. Tickets are just $35 per person or $250 per table for eight and include dinner, champagne for toasting, party favors, and live musical entertainment featuring the Alex Martinez Band. Must be 21 or over to attend. Reserve now at 575-874-5200 for the best New Year's Eve celebration in the Southwest.
Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino.
Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
In 1977, in Johannesburg, South Africa, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. By the age of 9, he was already outplaying him. The odds of that same boy then making it to the U.S. and European pro golf tours? 1 in 7 million. The odds of the Big Easy winning the Open Championship once and the U.S. Open Championship twice? 1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we try to help New Mexico businesses every single day.
Lucy, you had some splaining to do.
I love that clip. I love that clip. We are News New Mexico. It's Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. Thank you for being there. Since you're there, we get to be here. We're talking with Heath Houselman. He has a blog, NMPolitics.net, and he's one of the very earliest people who have jumped into that, and he's been doing it 5 years now, and he's really kind of the source authority. Even the LA Times calls him when they're trying to do a lame story. But let's finish this little thing about our tax structure is so convoluted.
Yeah.
There is a question about what is an expense. And so my family is connected somewhat to oil wells, and we have a certain number that proved. Mm-hmm. Some of them pump more oil than others do. When it got to a certain area, we had three. McKim number one was one of them, and it didn't prove. And so we had to just cap it, pay the money to cap it, and walk away from that investment. We were trying to get a sense, is that a business expense if you drill a well and it doesn't pump oil?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not doing anything. We're not taking advantage of anybody in Santa Fe by the fact that the money it takes to produce an oil well is a business expense, right?
Well, for me, something's an expense if I spend money on it, whether it produces income for me or not.
Okay, to do business, yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about you. You were in the LA Times.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a odd article. What was your take on that?
It was an article about Mike Murphy, judge in Las Cruces, who's charged with bribery, just sort of an overview article. I think around, you know, they were looking for some interesting stories that their readers would find interesting around, you know, the holidays, looking to have some things ready to go in the hopper. And they have a guy up in Albuquerque who writes for them occasionally who pitched this story. So, you know, it was just sort of an overview story of the case.
Was it good journalism?
Well, I was quoted in it, so they went to a good source.
They went to a good source, but I looked at it and I thought, this is pretty lame.
It was a pretty superficial overview of the case, certainly.
Yes.
But, you know, are readers in Los Angeles interested in more than that on a district judge in New Mexico? I don't know.
So, Heath, you know, at the risk of sounding like a real pro-defendant progressive here,
don't you think we should
leave alone sometimes these criminal cases that are under adjudication, so that just let the system work rather than it's almost like anything could be prejudicial and poison the jury pool. What's your thoughts
on
that? No. You don't agree with that.
Once when I was working at the newspaper here in Las Cruces, we had a judge who was charged with rape. He was going to trial. I don't remember the exact days, but it was something like he was going to trial on a Monday. On a Thursday, his defense attorney found out we had a story planned for the weekend, filed a motion in court to stop the story, which is totally unconstitutional, arguing that our story would prejudice the jury. And it was just sort of this overview story of how we got to this judge's trial.
Did the judge go for it?
Of course, the judge said no. But in the meantime, we had to spend a bunch of money on getting our lawyer down from Albuquerque to come and prep me and go to court with me so he could argue that this was not okay.
So from a constitutional sense. I'm sure you're correct. But just from a sort of an ethical or not even ethical, but just sort of to let the process work.
Have any
problems with that?
As long as we have a society that can find a jury that lawyers on both sides agree is not prejudiced by media coverage, then I think media coverage is a good thing when a public official is charged, because the public needs to know what's going on with these people.
The real question is, can you know the facts of the case and still make a non-prejudicial?
That's also a good question.
Because then you can watch the news.
I have never sat on a jury. I can't answer that.
We are News New Mexico. How come Heath isn't on a jury?
I assume I'd be kicked off of them because I'm a journalist.
It is 22 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. This is Michael Swickard. Here's one of my columns. My friend Bob was at a buffet. After his sixth trip back to the buffet, the owner came over and said, "Hey, Bob, this is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and Bob, that's all you can eat." Bob laughed, but there's a constitutional issue at stake that came out last week when a buffet owner back east banned three of the regulars because, guess what? They ate too much. Well, wouldn't you expect? Lots of people immediately asked, "Hey, can they do that?" Indeed, do business owners have the right to refuse service to just anyone? Some say when you open the door on a restaurant to the public, then, in effect, the restaurant belongs to them. Others, myself included, feel that everyone does have a right of association guaranteed by our Constitution. Our Constitution seems to divide the right of association into two areas, government and private. When we deal with the government, the right of association is not in force. Privately, the Constitution suggests you do not have to associate with anyone that you would rather not. While making a designation between government and private, the Constitution does not do that when it comes to money. There is no loss of constitutional rights because you're involved in a commercial venture. The market will correct for those people who are not nice. If a restaurant does not wish to serve someone, say military veterans, I tell you, the world will go around and around and around and they will stop going there. Does the restaurant have a right to refuse service? They do. They just have to take the consequences. Our most valued associations are social. What if the government tried to say you could not exercise your right of association within social context? That when someone called a woman for a date, she had to go on the date? Well, that's ridiculous. Outrageous. But what's the difference between when somebody opens the business door of a restaurant and those people do not wish to transact business and somebody who calls for a date? You know, earlier in life, I used to hear, "I can't go out Friday night, I have to stay home and wash my hair," which is get lost spelled polite. I guess at that time I might have liked that. When we start mandating that people have to associate with other people, we start to be on a slippery slope. Apartment owners cannot discriminate against certain people, or can they? Exuberant college students, you think you could draw the line there? I don't know. I applaud any American citizen's right to decide his or her own associations. Even if somebody says, "I'm not serving a newspaper columnist like you," hey, I'll just be fine.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we look out for people who depend on paychecks from New Mexico businesses every single day.
I remember that look. That used to be me. Now I'm one of them.
We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, December 13th. Jim Spencer, I'm Michael Swick, talking with Heath Hasselman, NMPolitics.net. So it does seem, Heath, that the news media tries people in the media. Take Richard Jewell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of the more easy to do.
Yeah.
Tried, convicted, and hounded out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, oh, shuckins, they were wrong.
They were wrong. You know, as a former police reporter, I could tell you, and this is not high-profile cases, but covering crime in general, it is difficult to present the defense's side because public defenders especially are not authorized to speak. Their side of the story doesn't come out until trial. They hold it very close, whereas the prosecutor is an elected official who built into the system is in their interest to get in the paper. They want to talk to the news media, and it's very hard to provide balance in those articles.
All right, so let's extend that to Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
So we know when people have been wronged by the news media. Do you believe the news media in New Mexico and nationally has really got the handle on the ATF's Fast and Furious scandal?
I don't think the national media has a handle on a lot of stories. I'm not a big defender of the national news media. I think that's a very big story frankly, I haven't covered enough either. I have a hard time as one person covering everything that needs to be covered. But
that's the good and the bad news.
Yeah, that's
the good news is that you don't have to fight with people about editorial content because it's your decision.
Right.
The bad news is there's only one of you.
The other bad news is that I'm responsible because I make the decision.
And you completely make the decision. We're only we're pretty close to another country, Mexico.
Right.
In proximity,
yeah.
The ATF story that we understand is that money was taken from the stimulus funds, bought firearms, mm-hmm. and handed them to cartel members to be able then to trace in Mexico what they were doing with them. Turns out they were killing people, including, and the weapon was identified at the site when Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was killed. That's what they're doing with them. They're killing Americans and killing a lot of people in Mexico.
And ATF knew this. I mean, they had to know it. It's common sense. The New York Times, interestingly, had an article, I think this weekend or sometime in the last week or so, that federal agents have also been involved in money laundering money for the cartels. Same thing. Whether you're sending guns or sending money that is used to finance the cartels, you are financing the killing of Mexicans. And I think it's outrageous that our government's been involved in that.
So you have been critical of Attorney General Gary King. They've got an emergency meeting going on today. I don't know if it's in Santa Fe or Albuquerque. About the Attorney General basically not following up, and I'm paraphrasing mm-hmm. this, bad cops.
That's what the Law Enforcement Board is saying, that mm-hmm. There are, I think the Albuquerque Journal reported, at least 60 police officers still on the streets in the state who have been disciplined or fired for misconduct that could get their license to be a law enforcement officer revoked. But what the board that would revoke these licenses is saying is that the, in effect, prosecutor, Gary King's office, isn't moving fast enough for them to be able to stop these guys from being cops.
Do you think he's too busy bringing Rebecca Vigil-Giron to a speedy trial to get bogged down in that stuff?
I think this year has been stunning to me in the criticism that Gary King has faced right after winning re-election from across the political spectrum, from cops, politicians, the public. It's stunning.
He's had a bad year, hasn't he? A
justifiably bad year.
Yeah.
We are News New Mexico, talking with Heath Houselman. He has a great site, nmpolitics.net. We'll have more with Heath when we get back. It is 30 minutes past the hour.
So, Linda, did you call Dad about lunch?
I've been trying to call him all morning. Hmm? No answer.
Oh, he should be at home now.
Oh, what do you think?
Every year, one in three Americans over 65 falls at home, often doing the same things they've done for years, on stairs, in bathtubs, tripping over pets, and over throw rugs. For older adults, any broken bone can be serious. A broken hip can be lethal.
I'll try once more.
Hello.
Dad, where have you been all morning?
The backyard, breaking in my new leaf blower.
Ugh, at least you weren't up on the ladder again.
Ah, you worry too much.
For information on simple adjustments that can make your home or the home of a loved one as fall-safe and bone-friendly as it can be, visit orthoinfo.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where staying on your feet is doctor's orders.
Hey, Jim Spence, we're on break right now. We were talking on these breaks sometimes about the 7 habits of highly effective people, and I love the number 7 habit, which is sharpen the saw. He was looking out the window. He saw one of his neighbors who was sawing down a tree, and he went back and did something. He came back. That guy was still out there sawing that tree down, so he walked out. You know how people like to watch work?
Yeah.
And he said, boy, this looks like a hard job. And this guy's sawing away, and he said, oh, man, this is just awful. And he said, well, maybe you ought to stop and sharpen the saw. And the guy said, I can't do it. I'm too busy cutting the tree down. Yeah. Sharpen the saw.
Amazing concept. And basically, I think how it applies to us is, you know, there's some fitness aspects to life that you got to pay attention to. You have to have spiritual fitness. You have to, and a lot of times what you can do is you can get that just by appreciating nature. A lot of times nature will give you a great, great sense of spiritual fitness. There's another aspect of fitness, mental fitness. This means developing your mind. It's taking some time to improve your mind by studying somebody like Stephen Covey, who is a great effectiveness
coach.
You
could even listen to us on News New Mexico.
That's a stretch.
That got the laugh.
That's a real stretch. Now, the other aspect would be physical fitness. Now, I've been told that I have the body of a Greek god, Flabius. I don't know if you're familiar with this god.
Flabius, yes.
But
As we digress.
But the point being about physical fitness is I literally...
That's sharpening the saw.
It's sharpen the saw. I actually do get on my exercise bike several times per week, and it helps my cardiovascular system. It helps my circulatory system. And so sharpening the saw means treating your body as something that is akin to a machine. It has to be well-tuned.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Rusey. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Congressman Steve Pierce. If you want to learn more about what Congress is doing to create jobs and cut spending in Washington, then I invite you to my website, pierce.house.gov. That's pierce.house.gov. That's where you can easily correspond directly with our office, get help with a federal agency, apply for a passport, or find out the next location of a town hall meeting. If you have a specific veterans or health care issue, our office handles cases like yours every day, and we might be able to help through a process called casework. We can't promise the outcome, but we will fight for you. Just telephone 1-855-4-PIERCE. We're serving the people of southern New Mexico effectively and efficiently through our website and toll-free hotline. I hope you will take advantage of these services, pierce.house.gov. We also report our daily activities on Facebook, so you can always be up to date with what we're doing to impact lives here in southeast New Mexico. Thank you.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is New Mexico's business.
You did that on purpose! You're going to wait till you agree! I got the evidence! Put the evidence in the car!
But Danny, put the evidence in the car!
I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
You can't say that.
I didn't say it. Jackie Gleason said it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well... It sounds like there is, we got Heath Houseman here. That's Jim Spence. I'm Michael Swickard. We got a grand jury that's got Jackie Gleason on it looking at former Governor Bill Richardson, mm-hmm. What's your prediction? You think they're going to barbecue him? He's got a new house in Cape Cod. We got a barbecue coming, or do you think he's going to slide this one?
The grand jury is meeting today. We don't know publicly whether it's to indict or just to hear some more witness testimony.
Well, what's the beef? What are we beefing about?
A woman was allegedly paid $250,000by friends of Richardson in 2007 to keep quiet about an alleged extramarital affair that would have torpedoed his presidential campaign.
Is that illegal?
It's unclear. The feds are trying to make a case against John Edwards that it is illegal in that it exceeds campaign contribution limits and that they were unreported campaign contributions. Some attorneys think it's quite a stretch of a legal theory, and others think they'll prove it. We'll see. I don't know. In Richardson's case, it's even more interesting because the money was allegedly wired to this woman from Mexico, and it's not clear if Richardson's friends in America put the money together. Did it have to cross international lines twice? Is there potential money laundering here? I don't know the answer.
Here's the big question. We're gonna have to ask our CPA, Brad, who comes in here usually Thursday. Is it tax deductible?
To the woman, of course not.
It's reportable to the woman, but did the
woman have to pay taxes on it so we have a record in government?
Well, and there, how many times have we seen this, and we have seen this, where somebody gets convicted of receiving a bribe, but a person doesn't get convicted of paying the bribe?
Yeah. The number one of that was Donnelly was found innocent of giving a bribe to Albert Bacon Fall, A.B.
Right,
Fall,
right.
In the Teapot Dome scandal, 1923.
Yeah.
Fall was convicted.
Right.
So the guy giving it was found innocent. The guy receiving it was found guilty.
Well, I haven't heard anyone allege bribery in this case.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're alleged. I mean,
so if you pay somebody to keep quiet, and this is all allegations. None of this has been proven.
You know, I don't know what's on the record.
Is that bribery?
I don't know if it's bribery. I don't know if it's extortion. I don't know if it's nothing, because we don't have enough details publicly.
Right, right.
And I don't even know that there was a threat. Like, if you don't do this, I'm going to go public.
Yeah.
All I know is that the woman alleged that she was pressured into a sexual relationship with him, and he allegedly settled for $250,000 that he got his friends together. I don't know. You know, attorneys were involved. This was an official legal settlement done out of court, so there aren't any public records on it. But if it happened, which it appears,
well,
that
isn't
it
a private affair?
Yes.
All right. So in your mind, it's a private
money
affair.
It was until the feds found out about it and decided it might be similar to the John Edwards case, in that these were. The theory in the Edwards case, and that may become the theory in this case, is that if you paid the money to keep her quiet so that she wouldn't destroy your presidential campaign, and you did that by raising funds from friends, then those are campaign contributions. It was about protecting your presidential campaign.
Do you buy into that theory?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and from what I've read, there's widely varying opinions on whether that's a valid theory
or not.
So,
Heath, what do you make of this? Now, I know you're no friend of Bill Richardson, but I mean, they've been going after this guy for a long time. The prosecutors, federal prosecutors, have spent a fortune trying to get an indictment of this man, and they keep coming up empty. Are they wasting taxpayer money on this thing?
I don't know. Twice they have convened grand juries, and twice those grand juries have not returned indictments. The U.S. attorney at the time, Greg Farratt, in one of those two cases, released a letter publicly to the targets of that investigation, including Richardson, very clearly saying you should not consider yourselves exonerated. He thought they were guilty, which implies that chain of command above the U.S. attorney decided not to indict, or that the grand jury decided not to indict. But whatever the case, the U.S. attorney believed that they should have been, but they weren't, and that's the process. Fair enough.
Sure.
So when is it double jeopardy?
Well, these are new charges.
No.
But I mean, the fact
you have to be charged and acquitted.
Yeah. Right. But Bill Richardson is smacked around all the time without any indictments and convictions.
And so we have one other investigation that's still ongoing other than this one involving this woman, which is the massive investment scandal where politically connected people were collecting fees off of the top of state investments to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. We know crimes were committed involving those players in a similar situation in New York because two of them have already been convicted. One of them said that the same crimes he committed in New York, he told feds on the record, he were committed in New Mexico, and he agreed to cooperate with them in this case. So You know, it's reasonable to believe or suspect that somebody committed crimes in that case in New Mexico, whether it's Richardson or someone else. I don't know. That investigation is ongoing. We don't know whether that one will lead to charges or not.
Two related questions. Do you think New Mexico's better off for having had Bill Richardson here?
What a question.
Do you think Bill Richardson prospered being the governor of New Mexico?
No. To the second one, the answer is an easy no. He gave up private sector positions that were banking him tons of money to become governor and to try to become president, which does not bank you tons of money. For Richardson, in my mind, it's never been about money. It's always been about power. Now, you can still commit crimes being power hungry, so I don't know if he committed crimes or not. But no, I think he took a financial loss to do it.
You were a newsman the whole time he was governor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think New Mexico was better off because of him?
I'm not sure. I've said before that I suspect that history will look on him more kindly than we do right now. But if he gets indicted and convicted of something, that'll obviously change it. I think history will remember him as corrupt, but I also think they will look back at things that were put in place to try to diversify the economy beyond the oil and gas industry.
Namely?
The spaceport is a potential one. We don't know if it's going to succeed or not, but it could. It could reshape the economy in southern New Mexico. The film industry is one that could. It's interesting now that our current governor, who came in, speaking pretty poorly about this industry, now says glowing things about him. Did she decide that they are good for the state? I don't know.
Well, we had Scott Darnell on the show a couple weeks ago, and he clarified that and said that they wanted to cap their exposure to credits to the film industry. So he said it was never that they were completely against the film industry. They just wanted to say, okay, when we look at our budget, we know that the most this is going to cost us is $50 million a year.
Well, but we now have two governors from two different parties saying film industry is good for New Mexico, so Richardson gets credit for that. One thing that hasn't taken off that he tried, and I don't know what will happen with it, is the Renewable Energy Transmission Authority, which was to bond and build infrastructure to encourage alternative energy companies to build their production facilities in New Mexico.
Because you've got to get it to market.
And the state would help them get it to market, essentially, sell the power to other states. You know, none of these were Richardson's vision, but he took the visions of people in his administration that had the potential in his mind to diversify the economy beyond oil and gas long term and said go with it. So some of those will probably work out and will benefit the state, others may not.
Do you think he changed the way we do politics, that it turned into a blood sport?
I think he took it to a whole new level. Whether that's a low or a high probably depends on who you're talking to. But, certainly Richardson pushed the limits. I don't know if he crossed the limits of what's allowed under campaign finance laws. He pushed them to the extreme, and I think the average member of the public believes that pushing it to the limit is unethical, whether it's legal or not.
So Heath, you've written some columns on the problems with border security, drug cartels.
Yeah.
And we had a story yesterday of a sheriff over in Maricopa County caught an illegal who had crossed the borders for
smuggler
27 times he crossed, and then we have another story from the Washington Times this morning, basically says the Obama administration is going to cut border security, National Guard on the border. What do you make of that? Are we doing everything we should be doing on border security?
I don't know. I think the Mexican cartels are a bigger problem than Washington or the national media realizes. At the same time, through multiple presidents, we have dramatically increased the number of Border Patrol agents. Crossings are down under the Obama administration, and enforcement is up. And some people have said we can now cut back the National Guard because the Border Patrol is doing such a better job. I don't know enough about it to know whether that's true, but I do know that enforcement is up under Obama.
We are talking with Heath Houseman. He has got really good political blog, nmpolitics.net. We are News New Mexico. Thank you for being there. Since you're there, we get to be here. 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Super Checking from Bank 34. Open a Bank 34 Super Checking account today with only $50 minimum to open. No monthly service charge, free online banking, and free user-friendly bill pay. No fee used at 43,000 surcharge-free all-point network ATMs worldwide. And interest on balances $500 and above.
Stop in for more details.
Bank 34, 220 North Telcher Boulevard in Las Cruces and 500 10th Street in Alamogordo. Bank34online.com.
Member FDIC.
Jenkins, I need coordinates now!
Captain, 2 nautical miles and closing fast. This blip here is Sonic's new Kick and Coney, a premium beef hot dog topped with chili and crispy onions.
Yes! And that's the bacon and blue dog with crispy bacon and blue cheese dressing. But what is this triangle that they're forming?
Sir, the toppings appear to be the perfect triangulation of saucy, melty, and crispy.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Ramming speed!
Introducing 2 new additions to Sonic's $1.99 premium beef hot dog family, the Kick and Coney and the Bacon and Blue Dog. For a limited time, only at participating Sonic drive-ins. See menu for details. This is how you Sonic.
What do these athletic departments have in common? How about the University of Alabama Crimson Tide and the University of Washington Huskies, the Florida Gators and the Texas Longhorns, or the Louisiana State Tigers and New Mexico State Aggies? They all use sports accessories for their screen printing and embroidering needs. If these athletic departments use sports accessories, then you can too. Sports Accessories handles screen printing and embroidering for big universities and hundreds of little league teams as well. Visit the website at sportsaccessories.biz. Again, sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Sports Accessories, located in Las Cruces, produces screen printing and embroidering for any occasion, sports-related or not. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. That number again is 575-526-2417.
My 12-year-old Jamil suffers from asthma. If he ever got the flu, it could threaten his life.
The flu can make some health conditions worse, such as asthma, diabetes, heart disease, or kidney disease. African Americans are at greater risk for some of these conditions.
I got my son vaccinated. I could never forgive myself if I put him at risk.
Get yourself and the ones you love vaccinated. Visit www.flu.gov to see if you're eligible for a free vaccine and to find a flu vaccine near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Department of Health and Human Services.
So, Linda, did you call Dad about lunch?
I've been calling him all morning.
Huh?
No answer.
Oh, he should be at home now.
Oh, what do you think?
Every year, 1 in 3 Americans over 65 falls at home. For older adults, any broken bone can be serious. A broken hip can be lethal. For information on making your home fall safe and bone-friendly, visit orthoinfo.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where staying on your feet is doctor's orders.
Well, it's break time, and Jim Spence and I are just sitting here. Nothing to do, you know. We talk for a living, and since we talk for a living and they got commercials on, gosh. So we thought, well, if you're listening to us on the internet or on the podcast, we'd talk about Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. We went through those, and then there's an 8th habit, isn't there?
Yeah, and this is something that came out way after the fact. Covey did a great job, I think, of structuring the idea of effectiveness or success, however you want to define it. But he contemplated that. That series is now, I guess it may be approaching 20 years old now, but he did start to contemplate the 7 habits, and he came up with an 8th habit. And I love the 8th habit because I think it kind of reflects sort of my worldview.
And it is talk radio.
It is, actually, and it's one of the purposes for why we're on the air, and that is the idea that what do effective people do after, if they are committed to the first 7 habits, which we have discussed and we won't list right now, but the bottom line is the 8th habit is you got to teach. You got to teach principles. You got to teach. You got to share your wisdom, share your experiences, and even share the Covey habits, which is what we are doing on some of these podcast series where if you're on the radio, you're listening to commercials, and we have nothing against commercials.
We like
they pay
them.
The bills, and we run commercials here on the podcast. But teach is the idea of the 8th habit, and great, effective people. They will take time out. You see Warren Buffett do it when he goes to places like Columbia University and lecture along with Bill Gates. People like Tom Brokaw write books about the great generation that fought World War II.
The greatest generation.
The greatest generation. And so what we try to do on News New Mexico, we have some awareness of financial issues and education issues and maybe some other issues. We try to teach based on what we've learned.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where New Mexico's business comes first.
I got a telegram from headquarters today.
Headquarters? What is it?
Well, it's a big building where generals meet, but that's not important right now.
All right, that's us normally talking here. Headquarters, a big building. We are News New Mexico. It's Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. We're talking with Heath Houseman. He has got a great site, nmpolitics.net. Heath, now is the time people are starting to throw their hat in the ring. I know we saw that Senator Mary Kay Papin made an announcement and said she's ready for four more years. Dr. Terry McMillan on this program last hour said he's in. You're starting to get those people. Are you having to drag it out of them, talk about that they're running again, or no. You pretty much know?
Well, one we're having to drag out of is the speaker, Ben Lujan, who says, I'm thinking about it, I'll decide.
But what's your bet on the speaker?
I don't have one.
I have a green chili cheeseburger saying he ain't coming back.
I would not be surprised. I mean, he won by 80 votes in a primary last time. Then Representative Cervantes challenged him for the speakership and lost, but severely weakened his power. He will have gotten through this redistricting and done what he could to protect his son's House district, U.S. House district. I would not be surprised at all if he says this is time to go. But we don't know for sure.
Do you think there's going to be some targets? You know, we asked the governor about the fact that there's plenty of money,
right?
And the thorn in the governor's side is the fact that when it gets to the Senate, Michael Sanchez can just pick the legislation up, put it in his pocket, and there's no power on heaven and earth that can change that.
What's interesting in the structure of government, the legislature can override a veto from the governor.
Yeah.
You can bypass the Speaker of the House if he's holding up legislation, which we saw
with enough votes
last year. You cannot bypass the Senate Majority Leader's decisions on whether or not to put something on the calendar, which you could argue makes him the most powerful official in government. Certainly he's one of them. The governor has raised $500,000 through her PAC. She's had this implicit threat that she's refusing to really talk about, but it's sort of been implicit that I'm on the side of New Mexicans. Do what New Mexicans want, or I'll take you down.
Well, where this really hit you had bipartisan support for her bill that talked about that if kids are at the end of third grade and they still can't read, don't put them in fourth grade because you learn to read K through three, and then you read to learn the other. Fourth through 12th grade, and it was singularly killed, completely dead, by Senator Sanchez.
And that's one of a number of reasons that she does not like him, although I know she said on this program she'll work with anybody, including him. Great, that's good to hear. we could use some more cooperation. In some ways, this governor and the Senate picked up their relationship where Richardson and the Senate left off, which is to say they didn't have a relationship. She jumped into that same role immediately. I mean, the Senate in some ways was so wounded from the Richardson years that when she came in and essentially said, my way or the highway, they said, well, then it's the highway. I mean, screw you.
That's it. So,
in a bipartisan way, it's the Republican leadership in the Senate is not any happier with Susana Martinez than the Democrats.
Really. Well, I think we could probably bring some Republican senators on that might disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, no,
I'm sure you could.
No, but
there are plenty. I'm not saying Republican
the
caucus, but Stuart Engel is and Susana Martinez are not in the best place right now either.
The question is, will she? Because the problem with that is, if she puts her prestige and her dollars into unseating Senator Michael Sanchez,
right.
and it doesn't work.
That's bad for her.
Oh, it's not just bad. It's devastating.
And he would
it?
Be very difficult to beat for a number of reasons. One of them is that he's Michael Sanchez. Another is that redistricting was drawn by them. And he had this in mind when they drew his district. Now, we still have the courts to draw the final district. So we'll see what happens with that. On the flip side, Valencia County is a Democratic county that went almost across the board Republican last year, including voting for Susana Martinez. If she could find a candidate in his district who was credible and was willing to put a couple $100,000 of that $500,000 into that race, which would be shocking for a state legislative race, it could be an interesting contest.
Well, we have to point out that a name we now know quite well, which is Lieutenant Governor John Sanchez, came onto our view because of the fact he took on the sitting Speaker of the House, Ray Sanchez, mm-hmm. I don't think any relationship, and beat him.
Michael's brother.
Michael's brother.
Oh, is that Michael's brother?
Yes. Michael's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So Sanchez not related is to John, powerful.
But not, yeah, that's what I mean. Right.
Not related to John. But
yeah.
Yes.
It can happen.
And so do you think Michael was bruised by the loss?
Well, yes. And in the right climate with the right candidate and the right district and the enough money, it can happen. 2012, however, Republican activists I talked to are not expecting a Republican wave next year. Barack Obama's back on the ticket. He's still quite a draw on the left. A lot of people think this is not the year to spend a couple $100,000 against Michael Sanchez. It just won't work. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what the governor decides, but she's certainly thinking about it, regardless of whether she's talking about it publicly.
Does money ensure success?
No, but it's the best bet you have in American politics in the 21st century.
Who was it that said, "I've had money and I've had no money, and having money's better"?
W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
It's not the only influencer in politics in campaigns, but it is the primary.
I believe he said, "I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better." That's his
that
quote.
Sounds more like
okay.
it. Actually.
Yeah. So you got other people thinking of putting their hat in the ring. Anybody of note that's looking at state and House races?
I hear talk again of in the southern part of Doña Ana County of potential Democratic primary challenges to Cynthia Nava, who is the education chairwoman, and Mary Helen Garcia, who is the House Voters and Elections Committee chairwoman. There were some challenges in the primaries in 2008 in a couple of House primaries in the South Valley, which was more, I think, about just exerting some influence over the process among some groups that are trying to organize down there than it was winning the races necessarily. But I've heard the former Sunland Park Ruben Segura's name tossed around as a potential candidate. So there could be some interesting things going
now,
on.
Now, we got something wrong with Mamie Stewart, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Mamie Stewart, we said she was running for her ninth term in the House of Representatives in Albuquerque. And she sent us an email and said, it's hard to believe, but it's the 10th. So we had to go back and correct
that.
We also sent her an invitation and invited her on the show. And so far, the silence is deafening.
No, there's not anything to be gained by being on this show for her, is
Well,
there?
Tim Keller's coming on Friday, and we're looking forward to talking to him. He's actually, there's a story about Tim Keller on NewsNM.com this morning. So it'd be interesting to talk to him about the governor's deal with the Downs at Albuquerque. I know he has some views that differ markedly from the administration.
Right.
So
Heath Houseman, NMPolitics.net. We appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show today.
We appreciate Jerry Harden, our producer director, and all the stations that are part of our network. Thank all of you for making this possible. We are so happy to be here.
Red Hawk Golf Club in Las Cruces, New Mexico is open. It's been the talk of the golfing community for quite some time, and now is the time for you to hit the links. A Kendai course, Red Hawk features 76 bunkers and water on 8 holes. With range from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, there's a distance that fits your game. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. Contact Red Hawk at 575-373-8100. National PGA Hall of Famer Bill Eschenbrenner serves as Golf Pro Emeritus. Superintendent Alan Salter comes to Las Cruces after serving as the superintendent at Farmington's Pinon Hills, one of the premier public courses in the nation. Red Hawk Golf Club. Visit GolfLasCruces.com for more information or call 575-373-8100.